The philosophy is we want markets that work for people, and people who believe in the free market, like myself, want that free market to be properly regulated. Now, payday lending was almost entirely unregulated when this government came to office. We've created a powerful new consumer regulator. We've taken steps to control things like the rollover of those loans. And I think the next logical step is now to cap the overall cost of credit. It's working in other countries. It helps hardworking people. And in fixing the banks, we need to make sure we fix all parts of the banking and financial system, and payday lending is part of it.
Yeah, but you did resist this. Am I wrong? Mark Hoban said it's not necessary. The Treasury is confident that a range of powers is in place to help people in respect of payday lenders and high-cost lenders. So something has changed, hasn't it? Your default option generally is not to intervene with a price cap in a market.
Well, we've always believed in properly regulated free markets where there's competition but consumers are protected. That's why I created a new consumer regulator. That's why.
And you gave it the power to do this, and they've chosen not to use it, and now you're telling them they have to use it.
No, that's not the case. First of all, we created this consumer regulator. We gave it these powers that it never existed before to control this industry. And we've been in discussion with that regulator about the best way to make sure that people get a fair deal out of the payday lending industry. And in discussions with the regulator, it became clear actually what government could do, what Parliament could do, was set the principle of a cap, set the duty on the regulator to have a cap. Now the regulator will go away and decide what is the best form of cap. And I just say this point, it's not just a cap on the rate of interest. I think it's important we understand that. We've got to look at all the other things that go into a loan, the arrangement fees, the penalty fees if you fail to repay the loan, the rollovers, the continuous payment authority, that's the money coming out of people's bank accounts without them even knowing. These are all parts of the answer to making sure that people get access to credit, but access to credit in a way that is sustainable and they deal with responsible lenders.
Well, why do it now? Why not wait until the Competition Commission, which is investigating the sector, gives its results?
Well, the Competition Commission is looking at the overall sector and how it's regulated and whether there's enough competition in the sector, by definition.
Well, these are things that you would surely want to... You've just said you want a well-functioning market. That's why you're intervening. But you haven't even waited for your own body to investigate it.
These things can go along in parallel. And the Financial Conduct Authority, who are the people we've been talking to, as well as the Competition Commission, they are working on a number of changes. They've already announced some of those changes, limiting the number of rollovers, restricting the use of continuous payment authority. So
but
a cap on the overall cost of credit is...
You barely waited for those things to take effect before you've introduced the next thing.
There's a rather perverse line of questioning. On the one hand, I'm being accused of not doing it fast enough.
Of course
I'm acting too quickly.
I think we're doing this in a
step-by-step way. We created the body to enforce a cap and set a cap. We've given it the right powers. We now have an opportunity
for those first measures to be take effect. You've given it the powers, and now you're insisting that it use the powers rather than trusting them to get on with it.
We do trust them.
So why then do you need to force them to do it?
There are many aspects of this industry, as we've just been discussing, the use of rollovers, the use of continuous payment authority, the use of advertising, and so on. So there are many aspects of this industry. And I think it's right for the government to say, look, there's also a cap on the overall cost of credit. And when you look at some other countries and some US states, there's increasing evidence that you can design a cap that has worked. And I think a few years ago when people were talking about caps, they were often rather crude, just interest rate caps. The point I'm talking about today is you've got to cap the overall cost of credit.
Right. And what I don't understand is why the regulator, if this wasn't a good thing to do, why the regulator wouldn't opt to do it given that they have the power. Why you have to write into a law passed by Parliament that the regulator has to do this? Why do you have to force them? Why don't they just get on with it if it's such a good idea?
Well, because I think ultimately governments have got to lead and Parliament has to lead. And here is the government taking a lead. As I say, the situation we inherited 3.5 years ago was that this industry was entirely or almost entirely unregulated. Now we're in a position where we've got the powerful consumer champion. We've got the new rules. Now we're going to have a cap. We're on the side of hardworking people who want a banking system and a credit system that works for them.
pretty major departure from a philosophy of free markets. Well, now you've come round to the idea of price freezes.
Can I just say...
What about a price freeze in the energy market, for example? You've been rather dismissive of that
idea. I'll come on to energy in a second, but you know, Evan, you are an extremely smart economist, and you know that people who believe in the free market, such as myself, do not believe in complete laissez-faire. We believe in regulated markets that work for people. Well, and that is what this government is doing, whether it's in the banking sector, where we're clearing up an enormous mess, whether it's now in payday lending, where there was no regulation before. We are stepping in where government needs to step in to create the rules of the market. And but, you can go back and you can read your, you can go back, you can go back and read Adam Smith and John Locke, and they will all tell you about the rules of markets. Right. So the idea that this is somehow inconsistent with a conservative or a free market philosophy, I think is just nonsense.
I had understood the regulatory system that you had imposed was one of giving people who look at these markets free of political interference. Because there will be some, incidentally, who say, wow, it's just George Osborne, you know, piping up with this out of the blue, just a few weeks ahead of his autumn statement, to give him something to say, and out of desperation because Labour seemed to be making great headwinds with the cost of living crisis. And of course, we would never want decisions to be made on the basis of politics, would we?
Evan, that is just complete nonsense. As I say, this is the government. I am the Chancellor who created the Financial Conduct Authority that will have these powers to set the cap, that has given it these important new rights and powers, who's going to legislate in law for a cap. And the idea that we're following Labour, the Labour Party were in office for 13 years. Ed Balls
well,
and Ed
Miliband. Well, it wasn't really as big a market well, when they were, hold on, they were in this issue, the last three
this,
years.
This issue came up. They were in the Treasury all those years. Yeah. They did absolutely nothing.
But they spotted it first.
Look, I'm happy to pay tribute to some individual MPs, Stella Creasy, like Robin Walker, the Conservative, who have campaigned on this issue. But the idea that the Labour leadership, who were running this country for 13 years and did nothing in this space, took a lead, frankly, fanciful.
It is worth saying the market was very, very much smaller in the years they were in power. Let's just move on to the co-op, if we could. Is it right, I don't know whether you can confirm this, I'm sure you've been talking about it behind the scenes, is it right that Treasury Minister Mark Hoban met Paul Flowers, the then chairman of the co-op, 30 times?
Well, I don't think it is correct that he met Paul Flowers 30 times. But look, we are having an independent inquiry into what went on in the co-op. And I'll just make this point, which is the first priority is to save this incredibly important bank. It has 600,000 customers. Many thousands of people work for the co-op and be anxious about their jobs. And a huge amount of my time and the time of the Treasury is spent on making sure this bank survives, and survives in a way that does not depend on a taxpayer bailout, which we want to move away from in this country. So that is our first priority. There's then the question of what went on and how did the co-op get into this position, and role of the Britannia merger in 2009.
And what's the role of the Treasury in this endless process in which there were competing bids for Lloyds Bank's branches, the ones it was going to sell, and one of the bids, Lord Levine, one of the bidders, was told, don't worry, it's the politicians have made a decision, it's going to be the co-op. Now, who is going to take responsibility for that, or what lessons are being drawn from that?
Well, again, the first point I make is this. This merger with Lloyds didn't take place. But that's very important, Evan, because one of the reasons...
But a lot of effort was put into it, wasn't it? A lot of time was wasted on it before that fell apart.
What we wanted to do was make sure there were new challengers out on the high street, new banks, so we can have some competition within properly regulated markets. And indeed, John Vickers, the report we established, said Lloyds should sell some of its branches. And the European Union wanted Lloyds to sell branches. Lloyds came to us and said, look, we think the co-op is the best company to take on those branches. Now, we worked with Lloyds Bank, we worked with the regulators.
And the co-op.
You didn't notice anything wrong with Paul Flowers at that time. You didn't raise the issue at that time. We worked with the regulators and the banks.
But the key point is the co-op.
The key point is this. It didn't happen. In other words, the system worked. I have sat in these interviews talking about why did RBS take over ABN AMRO? Why did the co-op take over Britannia? These were the root causes of a lot of the problems these banks got into. Here, the system worked because actually, when we saw that the co-op was in no state to take over the Lloyds branches. The alarm bell rang, the alarm bell was heard, and that is why our system is working. Yeah. That is a massive difference. From the past.
I'll tell you why I was mentioning it is actually because quite a lot of mud has been thrown at Ed Miliband for not spotting that Paul Flowers was in some sense an inappropriate person to be, in a senior position in economic and business policy. And I'm interested because it doesn't appear that you guys noticed it either, and he didn't notice it, you didn't notice it. So really, probably mud shouldn't be slung in either direction.
I think there is a big difference between having a system of regulation, which we are changing, so there's a much tougher regime for approving bank directors and bank chairmen, for having a system of regulation that is vastly different from the one a couple of years ago, so we spot when mergers aren't appropriate. And the situation the Labour Party finds itself in, where at least parts of the Labour Party knew things about Mr. Flowers that they did not apparently pass on to the regulator.
We didn't know
the circumstances around the fact he had resigned as a councillor for the Labour Party in Bradford. And we're also not in the same position as the Labour Party, who is currently taking money and soft loans from the co-op at the very moment while this institution is in trouble, where bondholders are having to make sacrifices, pensioners who do rely on the income from those bonds are having to make sacrifices, where people working for the co-op face losing their job. And at the same time, the labour and cooperative movement is taking money, cash, and soft loans. So I think there is a qualitative difference between the role of the government, which ultimately did not allow any merger to take place and is now working incredibly hard to save this bank, and the situation the Labour Party faces itself in, where they have to answer some very serious questions.
George Osborne, Chancellor, thank you.